Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On Twitter and Insta at Maloney4EA.
Now, back to the MFers.
On WEEI.
All right, welcome back to the MFers. Andy Hart is joining us of WEEI.com.
Next question, Andy Hart, please.
I know he's
a great voice.
Brought to us by McFarlane Energy. Just don't have a read right now, but that's okay.
Anymore.
I'll get to it. Huh?
They dropped him anymore.
Huh?
They dropped you?
I think you are.
Season.
All right, Andy, I know you've been yapping about this game, but you haven't been yapping it with us about this football game. So what would cause this Patriots team to have an epic fail on the final test, the final game of the year, a team in which we all thought was maybe their best matchup, going up to Buffalo in the cold? Because I don't know if you heard this or not, Josh Allen doesn't do well in the cold. Can't play in the cold.
He looked terrible.
What happened?
I would use the word resignation. I think this team was resigned to the fact that they weren't that good. I think that, I mean, we can delve into what happened during the bye week and all these things, but you hear these little snippets. You know, the energy on the field in warm-ups that Ryan Hannibal's talking about, or Adrian Phillips saying we weren't mentally prepared.
You buy that because Foggate doesn't.
Nothing wrong. No.
Let him finish.
The resigning part, I can agree with, but I would say I probably differ with when they resigned to the fact that they couldn't win and they weren't good enough.
I think it was the stretch of games, Colts. Bills,
so you're going all the way back again. To what happened to after bye week?
December. I think in December they realized it's not all that different when Tom Brady realized somewhere along the line that his final team here wasn't good enough when he was the most miserable 8-0 quarterback in football. Why would you be miserable? Oh, because you know you're 8-0 and it's just fake. It's a house of cards and we're not going to compete for a Super Bowl. We're not that good. And they weren't. They faded down the stretch. Yeah. This team did the same thing. Now, this isn't everything. Like, this is an iceberg, right? And there's the tip, and then there's everything.
Sure.
I mean, we can get back to one simple thing. They're not good enough. They're a lot like the Boston Celtics. My take on the Boston Celtics for, like, 2 years. Break it down however you want. They're not good enough.
Yeah.
Talent-wise, they're not good enough. This Patriots team's not good enough.
No, and you know, like, we're talking about things that concern you the most. I remember at one point we talked about this, and I just said that they're not talented enough.
Right.
They're not good. That's what I worry. Not Mac, not defense. They're just not good enough. But I think, getting to your point, the resignation part, I think we underestimate how important that Miami game was for this team psychologically. Because you go back, we broke this down the whole bye week, right? It's like the Malcolm Butler, what happened in the bye week? And it was, I think they read their clippings, 9-4. They lost that 2-4 edge. They got smoked, and it looked very similar to the way it started against Indy. And they just thought that they were that good at that time, that they'll flip the switch and beat Buffalo. And it was one of the worst games of the year. But then they smoked a Jacksonville team that we know sucks with COVID and everything else, but there was a touch of confidence. Okay, we're back. And I think that Miami game destroyed them. Like, if they came out and they beat Miami and played well, I think you carry some momentum. You actually get some belief back after those couple of bad losses. You get, as a team, you have belief. But with the way you lost to Miami, I think you got to put that resignation in their minds. And what Adrian Phillips was talking about, Jesus, that is us. Like, the only team we beat was Jacksonville.
Right.
We're not good. I believe it.
What's that NBC series? This is us. This is us. Like, we stink. Like, it's time to cry because we're not that good.
But you don't. That doesn't. I'm just telling you, that just doesn't happen. Like,
doesn't happen.
You don't. Because I've been on teams, like, we literally backdoored our way into the AFC West Championship back in the day when Seattle was part of the AFC West. And we lost our last game. And if we won it, we would have been in. And then Oakland was playing at the time Kansas City. And Oakland, if they beat Kansas City, we get in. Well, we get in because Oakland beat them. Everything changed. Like, once the season ended, like, all our mistakes, all our issues, all our struggles, they disappeared. Brand new situation, brand new opportunity. So I like the fact that you use resignation because I think that you're right. But I do think there was a point in that game where they said, uncle.
Oh, yeah.
Uncle. And that's what I think. Because I think offensively, like, it was brief, but they were fighting and you could see they were working and you can feel like a little bit of energy. And then, you know, Brandon Bolden drops the ball, and then Jonnu Smith thinks he's playing defense, and then Mac throws an interception.
Yep.
And then it's like, all right, fudge. All right, we know these possessions are really important. We just screwed it up. Let's hope our defense stops them, and they'll give us the ball back. Well, the defense doesn't. It looks even easier than the last series that they had. Then you go out, and then you get nothing again. They're like, holy crap, it's a freight train. No matter how many people we put on this guy, nobody can stop him. And then it's cold. And then phallic symbols are being thrown on the field. I do think there is a subconscious resignation that, okay, how do I at least show that I care so nobody says, you know, calls me out for not for giving up?
I was actually surprised. I said this to Hannibal on our off day post game podcast. I was a little surprised there wasn't any Patriots chippiness, like a late hit or shoving or anything.
Quit.
They didn't even have that in them.
They quit. No.
Right? Don't you usually see that when you get frustrated?
Yeah.
Somebody like that is saying, you know what?
Yeah,
you're not going to accuse me of not playing hard.
You're just,
I'm taking somebody's head off. I'm doing a cheap shot 15 yards later. I tried.
Dirty.
Put that on film. You call me dirty, but I tried. They didn't even have that to
they
them.
They wouldn't even act out.
It was like, I always
That's
go back to
a
the
good point. Yeah.
The Cardinals with
Where's
Kurt
Pride. Play dirty.
Play dirty. Like, that's how I am. When I'm getting my ass kicked, it's like, okay, if I can't win clean, I'm doing something.
Andy,
How about bite a kneecap?
Andy, I headbutted a guy in a basketball game in high school. Okay?
Perfect.
I got thrown out of the game because we were losing. I was like, screw this. Bap.
I did it.
Dude.
I did it on a pickup game. This big, tall guy was trying to dunk on me on a pickup game. And he went up to dunk.
Punched him in the
punched him right in the nuts because I'm like, you're not dunking on me. I know I'm 5'9", but you're not dunking.
But
they didn't have any of that.
Right,
but
there was
so
none.
So wait, so do you think?
Because it happened too quick.
I think it happened before the game.
No, but
they knew. I know, but
maybe if they had gotten something to give them the boost early, you could have ignited it. But I think they were ready to fall apart, and then Josh Allen and Micah Hyde just helped them. Made it
well,
snowball. Go ahead.
Did you hear the two pregame like pep talks? The one from
Jordan Poyer,
David Andrews. Then there was
cocky.
Jordan Poyer.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? Because I actually think like I hate the whole let's get in a circle and let's rally each other up. I think it sucks. But this guy, it never does anything. I always stand outside the circle.
You want to hear Jordan
not
Poyer?
Not surprised.
Jordan Poyer. But this guy, like this, and everything made sense, and that's why I like it.
They promise tomorrow, yo. What the you going to do with your opportunity today? We got to hit in the mouth. You see how cocky these are running? Man, damn. Man, damn, man. I'm tired of these. It's the end of an era for the other night. The end of an era. Let's go. We hit, we strap, and we talk. Let's go.
But let me ask you a question for you, because I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this, and I love it, too.
I love it.
How many times have you heard that from a team pregame, only to get smacked by the New England Patriots in the postseason?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
From Baltimore? No. Well, how many times have you heard that? It's it. It's over. End of an era. These cocky, and they go out and they lose 37-17.
I've actually never heard the whole end of an era. I've actually never heard that one before. And if it was Seattle, if it was Minnesota,
Scott,
but the fact that
T-Sizzle.
But the fact that it was Buffalo, okay, you've been demoralized for the last 20 years. You've been picked on, you know, made fun of. People prank calling your radio stations, like everybody making fun of you. Like, and then you think you've been through millions of coaches, coordinators, quarterbacks, defensive players. Like, you're more popular before your fans than you are your team. So for the fact that it was them and that guy saying it after the rubber match, and them just really, you know, eventually like, listen, that first game was such an anomaly. We beat your ass the second time, and we made it even worse the third time. I think, Lou, it means a little bit more than all.
I understand it, but I was thinking about how great it was, but I'm like, yeah. What do you think Rex Ryan said to them?
Right.
Yeah, but blowhard.
You have to actually go out for the 60 minutes, Stewart. Well, you're a blowhard if you lose.
But that one, you like
that I think
like
there's been a
one.
Lot of blowhards
you
in
like
the past.
That one.
I think a lot of those pregame speeches.
Oh, it was very good.
I bet you the people say, like,
think about
the era's over in 2013, 2011, 2010.
Have you ever heard it? I've never heard it. Maybe I'm sure somebody talked about
it.
But this is a changing of, this is different. This is like
your big brother,
you finally got big and strong enough to, like, kick his ass.
Well, that's.
And you're not dealing with it anymore. And it's like, holy crap. I went away to college. I came back, and this dude is actually kicking my ass.
He's wearing my shoes now.
Yeah, he's like taking my coat.
Took my girl.
Mom!
And that's where we all made the mistake after the first one. We thought, like, there was still this big brother, little brother thing after they bullied him. They ran it 46 times.
And it's almost like
there was, but we didn't know who the big brother was now. We mistook one big brother, and since then they haven't punted. And we also have to remember, right?
That's so true.
They haven't.
I know.
They've punted since then. And Josh Allen, that who the bleep did they think I was?
Right.
Yeah. Like
that, I even think that's
in
important.
But even in the wind game, I thought he played well. It didn't work out for him. He's throwing for the end zone. He makes that throw to Diggs where he goes like this, hits him in the forearm. If he catches
Dawson Knox jumps off sides.
Right.
Do you remember the Miles Bryant
deflection?
Deflection
that didn't need to be deflected?
Like, it was like, wow, what an unbelievable play. They're like lifting him up.
Yeah, it was.
Like, dude, he threw it like 10 yards behind.
Yeah,
your ass was beat.
No, but even the defender that was trailing the wide receiver, because he wasn't covered. It was behind the defender who was trailing the wide receiver.
Yeah,
that throw wasn't anywhere near anywhere.
This
anybody.
At least until Deshaun Watson shows up, this is Josh Allen's division. This isn't about Bill Belichick anymore or Tom Brady. It's not about, in my mind, Sean McDermott, although I think he did a nice job first loss.
Mm-hmm. After we cut him off.
After I said he was going to be fired. Now he's going to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But to me, it's all about Josh Allen. I think you're going to see a formula here with Josh Allen, too, the way he plays. He's the biggest bully on the field, but you'll only see it in December and January. If you think whatever he does now, he's going to do next September, because they've gotten into that point where he's our franchise quarterback. Be smart in September. Be smart enough to stay in the pocket. Throw the ball away. And then when the season's on the line,
the two-play thing.
Well, first of all, when he ran by Judon, that was an eye-opening.
How about when he ran through the Christian Barmore tackle?
Was that the third and four?
I'm not sure.
There was a third and four in the red zone where if you get a stop, okay, you made him kick a field goal, and that's a victory, like a little victory we need. He picked up 5 yards by running right up the gut, and then the very next play, he threw a laser to Dawson Knox
touchdown.
Oh,
no, that was later on.
And it was like,
yeah.
I can run over you if you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can throw through you if you want. You tell me how you want me to beat you, and then I'll do it.
It's a scary situation because you mentioned after the Gillette, like, who the F did you guys think I was, or whatever, right? Who they think I was. And then, you know, the whole cold, you know, he can't play in the cold, and he does what he did to you on Saturday night. Depending on how far they go, this could get scarier. Because now you're talking about this, like, freak athlete, like you said, bully, running over guys, by guys. He gets to, God forbid they win a Super Bowl, you start talking about, like, confidence in who he thinks he is now and who he becomes.
He's John Elway.
And it's not a cocky, like, he'll step back. No. It's a cocky, like, okay, I'm running this division. Like, this is my division.
Yeah, I was a little
now the mentality is coming with it.
Last week, and I need to learn to look at Josh Allen a little bit differently because he's become the man. The whole my feet, you know, my feet,
it was
I circulation.
Setup,
yeah,
it's
I feel like
setup.
He bait and switched me or something.
Totally, yes, he did.
And then he said no sleeves, and then he shows up in sleeves, and that whole thing. I thought he was gone soft. Why is he talking about all this?
It's a little sleight of hand there.
Didn't
by
matter
old
what
Josh.
He said because he was ready to kick ass, takes names. Like that was as good a performance. And you're right, and I give Mutt credit for this. He's John Elway.
John Elway, yeah.
Like, that's the comparison. I was just talking to Shime in the back room. He's like, oh, you know, who's like these athletes that are like Josh Allen? Who? Who can run you over, run around you, throw a bullet through your chest? Like, he's the total package. He is the reason GMs get fired. Because they see that, and they're lustful of it, and then he never develops into an actual quarterback 9 out of 10 times, 99 out of 100 times. But he's developing.
Is there going to be like an Allen 6? Like, who are the quarterbacks taken ahead of him? Is there going to be?
Yeah, some Mitchell Trubisky, right?
That's right. Who actually
is now his backup.
Is his backup. Isn't that crazy?
That's how he should be. You're in the right spot.
It's the only way they didn't score because he comes in at the end of the game and takes a knee.
But I do this whole divide question between Bills Patriots. What's the divide? Because that's a legitimate question. Because as embarrassing as the loss was, I said this to Matthew, wouldn't you pick the Patriots to beat the Steelers right now?
Yes.
So they're better than a playoff team.
Yeah.
That's another playoff team. I don't care how they got in, what they did once they were in. You're in that level. The Dolphins. You're on the Dolphins level. They're a borderline playoff team. All these teams that are, you're in that. You're in that conversation. This is not embarrassing times. You're perfectly middling.
Yeah.
But you're a long hell a ways away from winning a championship.
So Trubisky was a different year. Baker Mayfield went one.
Okay.
Sam Darnold went three.
Oh, he's still in the league.
Josh went seven. And then Josh Rosen went 10. So that was that draft.
He's by far the best of that group.
That was the draft that Lamar Jackson actually went right after that great pick, Sony Michel.
Sony had a nice run to start that game the other day. Long run.
Sony's still in the playoffs. Sony's still
I would argue if he had any speed, he would have scored.
Playoff running back.
Looked like somebody cut his hamstrings.
He had a play to the outside, like in the red zone, and I was like, where is this? Is he?
Did you think he was going to score in that one?
I did. Off he, he couldn't make it. You know, we're looking, thinking of the same play.
Yeah.
He couldn't make it.
Yeah.
And he had a better angle.
Pitched to the right, and you're like, oh, he's getting in.
Because he runs funny.
Yeah, he had a better angle.
You guys ran him down.
Remember Keith Byers, long time ago?
Yes.
Who ran funny because they shuffle. They don't actually stride out. It's like something's too tight in the hamstrings and it doesn't move anymore.
TB12.
He needs to do something.
Right. Those hips.
All right, so we got your take on the game. Well, now we're going to maybe ask you, like, maybe how to fix this thing. We've been trying to do it with Bob the Builder yesterday. We'll get into that again. Brian Scalabrine is going to join us at 3:30. Good friend Andy Hart is back to talk to Scal. A couple weeks ago, mentioned your name.
Coaching.
Said you put him on the spot, so he'll be excited to know you're back. But we'll talk to Scal at 3:30. Talk a little more Pats here when we come back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Maloney and Fourier.
It's the NFers
on WEEI.
Scal, how you doing, man? It's Lou and Christian.
I feel like it's been a while since it's been just us three talking.
You missed us, huh? Yeah. I know. Just us, like the circle of trust.
Whoever was on last time, he really put me up against it. I thought he asked some really good questions. Was it Hart? Am I getting the guy's name right?
I think it was. It's Andy Hart. Yeah, Andy Hart was in the house.
Andy Hart. Yeah, he asked some good questions the other day, and I had to do a little bit of tap dancing, but in general, it was kind of how I believed. But
that was Scott last week with no Andy Hart on a Wednesday, but it's Thursday, so Andy Hart will be in the house, and you get him tap dancing again, maybe.
I hope so.
In about 7 minutes.
I can appreciate Scal. I've danced. I've tap danced. I worked for Patriots.com for 20 years.
You should be a teacher.
You know all about it. So let me ask
There's
you.
There's a way to do it.
So we got 7 minutes. Let's get to it because we saw Mel Kiper's first mock draft, Jameson Williams.
Yes.
The wide receiver that blew his ACL out.
I'll take
from
it.
Alabama. Dave Buechler, I believe, had them taking the kid Dean, the linebacker out of Georgia, who I would love. And then coming back with Mitchie, the wide receiver out of Alabama in the second round. So just give me an approach in the offseason. Like draft, do you dive back in wide receiver? Is this a defensive-minded only offseason for them? Where are you?
I'm more on the defensive side of the ball. I think they need speed, athleticism at linebacker. I said it last year when Brady was doing his Super Bowl parade, and I thought Devin White and Levante David should have been at the head of the crowd in that parade. Like those linebackers, those runaround linebackers. And then you go here, and it's like we have big, slow, old linebackers who are supposed to stop the run, but they don't actually even stop the run. So why do we have big, slow, old linebackers? They don't even do what they theoretically are supposed to do. I think it's time for them to get younger and faster. And I know Brian Barrett's big on that the Cameron McGrone kid from Michigan could be that guy coming off an ACL. He's a smaller, faster. But I think you need, you could take a receiver coming off an ACL.
No
you can
way.
Have a, well, see, I kind of would. Because you're never getting him, a guy like that, at 21 if
but
he's not hurt.
We've tried this experiment before.
But try it again.
With a guy. No, dude.
You're
are you kidding me? You want
to
get
You don't trust Bill to take a receiver.
Why do you want to get a wide? No. No freaking way.
How about a corner in the
no
second
way.
Round?
No way.
No?
No way.
So where are you getting that guy?
First of all,
don't tell me Braxton Berrios.
First of all,
I'm sick of Braxton Berrios already.
I tell you what, you're not getting that guy.
No, you're
not getting
him either. You're not getting him.
Is he a true number one?
No, he's
okay, thank you. He's not.
You know what? They already did that. If Braxton Berrios was available last year, they would have signed him.
No, but
it would have been Kendrick Bourne, not Nelson Agholor, and Braxton Berrios.
Berrios. to my point when I say he's not, they're not getting that guy. Like, listen. They went out and they bought two tight ends and they bought two wide receivers. They bought a right tackle.
You want to return two of them?
Yeah, I understand that. However,
you got the receipt.
You don't think Bill Belichick is sitting there right now and saying, "Okay, Josh, you got the same crew coming back." Okay, and I know everybody goes nuts and says, no, you need, I know what you need, but this isn't going to be built overnight or in one season.
Right.
So, same offense is coming back. I need linebackers. I need corners. I need safeties. I need a defense. That's what we're focusing on. Our offense is good. Is it elite? No, but it's still good, and we hope that Mac gets better year two with everybody else.
Gets better year two. Maybe you squeeze some juice out of Jonnu Smith.
Right.
I've given up on him being the centerpiece, but maybe you get a little something. You're right.
Isn't that realistic?
The core of the offense should be retained. The core of the offense should get better with time. You can tweak it. If you tell me you can find some sucker to trade Nelson Aguilar to and maybe get a different body in that role, I'd love to dream big. I'd love to sell you on, go sign Davante Adams. Go trade for Calvin Ridley. Ridley you might be able to get just because I think there's a lot of questions as to what his value is right now. Going into his fifth-year option, $11 million, coming off a extended mental health break, looking for a new contract.
They need a lineman. Another fifth-year option guy.
I mean, they're basically...
Yeah, no. They're not dumb enough to do that.
Win for Ridley.
That's what your boy Fitzy thinks. Oh, we can just trade our crappy $11 million left tackle for him. Why would they want
him? I heard you on with Mutt, and he's right. You know, he talks about you look around the playoffs, and you see the passing attacks, and you see the weapons, and I get it, and that's what you need. I don't think you just get that right now, and you're complete. You got to get it eventually, but I can see Bill saying, I can win enough with this offense... Have it grow, but defensively, that's his focus. That's what he's going to get. It's going to be all defense.
Let's go back
draft,
to Saturday
agency,
night.
Everything.
Were you going to, if you had one more target for Mac, are you winning a shootout with Josh Allen?
No.
So the only way you close the gap, offense gets better because Mac is a year older. Everybody's
that's
together.
That's what you think.
Theoretically.
Hopefully.
But then you got to get competitive on defense. I thought Bill was as open as he's ever been when his... You know how he picks that one phrase and he just says it over and over again every answer? We couldn't keep up. We couldn't keep up. You're damn right you couldn't keep up. It was obvious for anybody to see, and he accepted it. He signed, resigned to it. You need athletes.
But the last time he couldn't keep up, that kind of meant go get Welker, go get Moss, because we can't keep up with Peyton.
Sure.
But now it's the other way around. We can't keep up, so let's go defense.
Defensively, you can't keep up right now.
But think about it. Back then,
you still had the core of a defense.
Yeah, and you're not okay. So the offensive skill players they're running it back with those guys. None of those guys are going to go anywhere.
Probably.
I mean, listen. Maybe some young kid comes in and beats out Aguilar, and they don't care about losing the money because they're not paying anything for the guy that's undrafted. That looks really good. But all those guys are going. You may lose one or two guys on your offensive line. Who knows?
Yes. Trent Brown's a free agent. Ted Karras is a free agent.
Yeah, and, you know, who knows? They may need to move some money around, so Shaq Mason may have to restructure his contract again, or he may... Who knows? The fact is that those guys are coming back. The defense is the obvious issue, and everything you said is spot on. I agree with everything. So when it comes to the draft, just the draft alone, okay, I don't care if you get a linebacker, a safety, or a corner. You need to get a high-level player that makes you better regardless of what you think your most important need is. So if you're telling me you have a need at linebacker... Well, that guy may not be available. Let's say you have a need at corner. Well, you know, that guy's not available, but the linebacker's there. That's what they'll do. They'll get the best out of those three positions that they need on defense. They're not drafting an offensive player in the first round. Can we all agree that is not happening?
No.
Why would they draft an offensive player?
Well, what if Randy Moss drops? What if whoever that guy is and you think, by that time we've talked ourselves into, this guy's the third pick in the draft, like Mac. He's the third pick in the draft, and this guy is all of a sudden, he's that picture. Why is he still there at 10?
Well,
why is he still there at 15? Why is he? Oh, he's
then
there at 21. Bill Belichick.
Well, that guy, Jameson Williams, is the guy you're talking about, though.
Then.
But
probably.
That's why you say that, because Williams is probably a top 10 wide receiver.
Yes.
So he drops to 21 because of his knee. That would be value. But I don't
ACL,
see them doing that.
Can we all agree the ACL is just.
It's not what it used to be.
No, it's not.
It's barely
career pausing.
Are you
at
worried
this point?
About a rookie wide receiver, though, not being at camp, not being at OTAs, having an injury plagued year one?
No, he's getting out there. He gets his mental reps in. He learns the damn offense, and then he's back with his Alabama boys running the offense. Let's go.
All right, listen, time now to talk to our guy, Brian Scalabrine.
Now, let's get the inside scoop on the Celtics. It's Scal time. Brian Scalabrine on Merloni and Fourier.
Brought to you by Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh since 1860.
All right, joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is...
just ended.
Brian Scalabrine. It just ended. That's, hey, Scal, how you doing, pal? We actually brought your boy Andy Hart back. We heard you loved him so much a couple weeks back.
No, you know what it was? Now that I know he's here, I come in ready. Andy Hart brought the good. And you know what Andy did last time? He asked me two real easy softball questions off the jump, and then he came with a thunder.
He softened you up, body blows.
Scal, I lived it for 20 years. I worked for Patriots.com for 20 years. I did the dance. You're doing these phoners. They're asking tough questions.
No. Like, I do the dance to a certain extent, but I don't think anybody should always call out the people every single time. You still got to give it time, but. Like I think, come on, man. You guys hear the broadcast. I'm as honest as can. On the broadcast, I'm as honest as I can be. I'm not like these other guys. I'm not like that. I kind of keep it like as neutral as I can.
So, Scal, we were talking earlier about this game here, and obviously disappointing loss last night to Charlotte. It was a good team. But, you know, talking about, like, you know, Marcus Smart's not being there. It's like, well, they were playing pretty good ball without Marcus Smart. I know Robert Williams is big. So when you look at this game, because I thought it was – they were starting to play well together, especially the kids, especially Jaylen and Tatum. How do you look at this one game compared to what you've seen the last week, 10 days, 2 weeks?
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys heard this on the pregame show. Like, I never – well, I do this predictor app where you guess the winner and how much and all that stuff, right?
Wait, do you give away your own money? Scal's like all these
money.
Other shows
no,
do?
No. We're in Boston, we don't do that yet. We're just like, we're dabbing our toe into the water, right?
Yeah.
Eventually, we'll be all in. You'll hear me on the broadcast. Like, right now, it's -6. You got a really good bet right now, you know? As of right now, we keep it PC. But anyways, you know, like, before the game, I'm just being honest. Like, Charlotte Hornets had five guys. Like, if you use a 30-game minimum, that average, they're in the top 50 in points per game. So when you have, like you have one guy on a team, like, let's say we're playing Dallas, right? And Dallas is a lot better now, but they have Luka Doncic, right? You could say, okay, well, you can rotate guys on them. But when you have five guys that can all get big nights, like give you a big night or a big moment or a big quarter, like, I was just not confident that without Smart and Rob Williams. So I was like, in one of those things, I know that we were favored, and it started out at 6 and moved down to 3. But I did not look at us during that game as a favorite against Charlotte with their depth. I'm not disappointed with that loss. You watch that game and you say, without Smart and Rob Williams, they're actually a better team than we are.
Well, you know, it's funny because like even like during the telecast, I was like, wow, Scal's got a crush on LaMelo Ball. Like, he's get a room already. Like, I was listening. I was like,
come on, man.
No. You know,
like watching him play.
No. I agree with you. Listen, he's like, sometimes he's just a disaster and he drives me nuts. But then you sit there and you watch him play. I'm like, you know, do you get envious? Like sometimes, like, and when you look at other teams and where they're at, like when you look at a LaMelo Ball, you look at the pieces that they have, and like, man, that used to be us.
Miles Bridges.
Yeah. Like they it seems like they're. There were the Celtics used to be like 4 years ago.
Sure. And I think the biggest thing is like you watch the NBA and, you know, I watch the league. Like, I don't, you know, you guys, I ask you guys football questions or, you know, like, I don't watch baseball. I don't watch any, I just watch the NBA. And then when it's over, I'm like, whew, I need a break from professional sports because it's a lot of games. And, you know, like teams that pass like that. So LaMelo Ball is like the perfect example. And there was a play in there where he was coming off a screen and Enes Kanter just twitched one way and all of a sudden he threw the ball up and Plumlee dunked it. And I don't know a lot about football, but I see that overhead cam when the quarterback drops back and then a safety, you know, takes one step forward and next thing you know, that guy releases the ball. That one step forward was the play that made, you know, the long touchdown pass. When I watch the LaMelo Ball, it's all that. He's passing while he's looking at the defense, moving one direction. And did you see how many wide open shots they get? Now, the contrary to that is when you're watching a team where the guy drives, he draws two, and at the last resort, he just kicks it out. And by then, you know, defenses are rotating and stuff like that. So I think like it's a combination of, you know, they drafted LaMelo Ball last year, but the game was very different last year. Like, they're really taking advantage of all the guys that they got and the way and the style that they play is also very indicative of how you want to win in the NBA right now. Like, the NBA this year, it's so much more pass and drive closeout heavy than it was the last 3 years. So, there's a few teams. Memphis is doing that. They're like that. So, a lot of teams are kind of hitting home run based on the way the rules have changed from last year to this year.
So, Scal, I've been a big believer this is a 500 basketball team because they've been a 500 basketball team last year. They're back to it this year, winning 5 of 7 here. But this little run, do you feel like there's momentum that they are at least approaching whatever their best is as a basketball team?
That's Adam, right? That was Adam?
Who did Andy. Adam works for NBC Sports Boston. You know how many times I've heard
Andy.
That?
All right. So, no, I think we just played, like, some teams that are, you know, like the Chicago Bulls, and they were, you know, like, they didn't have the players. When we beat the Phoenix Suns, like, if we had DeAndre Ayton, we're not scoring 64 points in the paint. Doesn't mean we're not winning that game. We're just not winning that game that way. So, I think sometimes the Celtics are banged up and teams beat us at games that we should have won. And, you know, like last night, like a good example, no Smart, no Williams. I actually don't think that we had a chance to win that game with those two guys out. So I think we're just hitting, like we're playing bad teams like New Orleans and we're beating those teams. And like during that roller coaster, we go down by 18 and then we end up having a great second half. So I would be lying if I said, yeah, we're definitely hitting our stride right now and take a look. We're going to build some momentum off of that. I'm kind of waiting for this team to change their playing style. And I don't know when that's going to happen. Maybe it doesn't happen. I do think they're kind of improving, but so is the NBA. Like the NBA is improving with playing a different type of style. So I do feel like we have a long ways to go offensively to be where I'm like, wow, we're playing some really good basketball right now.
Uh-oh, if you're mentioning playing style, that gets back to coaching. I'm not going to ask you. I'm going to pass this off to Lou now.
Here you go again.
Hey, we're talking to Brian.
Ime's been saying the same thing I'm saying. We got to move the ball. We got to move bodies. So he's been driving that home from day one. Like from his introductory press conference, he talked about the assist percentage. So we just, like, it takes a while. Like when you, like the players we have are not good at that. They're not good at driving closeouts, not good at moving the space. So it's something that you have to like constantly work on, and it's not easy to pick up when you've been an isolation player your whole life.
Oh, we're talking to Brian Scalabrine. And Scal, you know, listen, you got the Tatum and Brown, and you look at these two players, great players in this game, right? Young players in the league, and you mentioned you watch a lot of basketball, and you start watching more and more basketball, and you wonder how like special you have it here, because when I look at other teams, I see a lot of teams with really good young players. Like, I'm wondering how different you are. Like, you see, like last night, you're watching LaMelo Ball and Bridges, year four, what he can do, what he could become. There's a lot of good young players. So how different are you than some of these teams? Because we always thought we had the edge up.
Yeah, I mean, looking at Tatum as a young core versus looking at other teams as a young core?
Well, it's like we got Tatum and Brown, like, you got two all-stars, the future is bright. Well, there's a lot of teams that have two very good young players that you could say the same thing about, right?
Yeah, I think that gap is closing. I don't think I could have said that last year, even at the beginning of this year, but that gap is closing. But I'm like, listen, for me, first of all, it is very difficult to get two young, versatile, athletic wings that can score, right? That's like a really hard thing to get. So I keep driving this point home is like those guys got to become better at playmaking. I don't know how much, listen, I know when Kevin Garnett was here in the Celtics and he like lived in his basement and he watched 4 NBA games at the same time and his eyes just jumped from one game to the next, to the next, to the next. And I said, he was like a machine downstairs, right? Like just absorbing all the information of what the league does and how guys play. Cause like every one of those games is going to help him win a championship. Like, I don't really know Tatum and Brown like that. I don't know if when they go home, if they're just like glued to the TV and watching, you know, countless hours and hours and hours of film and watching other teams and stuff like that. But like, to me, because I watch, the writing is on the wall. Like they have to become quicker decision makers, quicker off the catch, quicker off the move, quicker and finding space, quicker in your decisions to shoot. Like every second or every half a second, every jab, every triple threat that those guys take, it's the defense more to load up onto them. So like, I know Ja Morant at the beginning of the year, he was playing at a high level. He goes out, they go 10-1. He comes back, and he's like fully changed his style, and it's for the better. Like he has taken a huge leap forward, and so has their team when he missed those games. Because he came back, he's like, oh wow, I don't have to hold the ball, I don't have to do this, I don't have to do that. I could play off the ball, and I can be just as effective. And he has, and so have the Grizzlies. So I don't know what causes people to change. I don't know if these guys are glued to the TV watching Golden State and Phoenix at 10:30 at night when they come on, but if that's what I'm doing and that's what I see. And I see all the teams moving the ball are the teams that are all the top teams of the NBA.
All right, Scott, listen, man, we appreciate the time. We got Friday night against the Trailblazers, I believe, 7:30.
It's a win. It's a lock.
All right, man.
Hey, listen, yeah. I won't take the call if we lose that game. This is a lock.
All right, Scott, we appreciate the time. Thanks, pal.
See you, Scal.
Sounds good. See ya.
All right. That is Brian Scalabrine, our Odyssey insider. It's brought to you by Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh since 1860. Andy, before the show, actually the beginning of the show, Christian and I was talking about, we were talking about this coaching staff.
That's Adam, right? That was Adam?
No, that is Andy.
You son of a bitch.
That is Andy. I want to dive more into this coaching staff and how all these guys became coaches. That's next. MF'ers back here with Andy Hart. See our people on Twitch. You can go to Twitch and just follow WEEI. To check us out and watch the show. Also, 37937. You can text the show. And, of course, you can call in at 617-779-7937. Join the conversation. Andy, we started the show off talking about this coaching staff. Actually, it was a Tommy Curran article, but it got us into more of the coaching staff and the issue of nepotism on this team. And, of course, it's all about Steve and Brian Belichick, but it goes, like, deeper than that. We're just looking at guys like, you know, Matt Groh and Vinny Sinceri. You know, his dad Sal's good friends with Bill and... Of course, Mick Lombardi and other guys. It seemed like everyone's friends with everybody, and Bill's just sort of, you know, Uncle Bill, you know, Daddy's good friend,
yeah,
you know, or Dad himself, or you know, it actually brought us. You actually pointed out and added to this. It was an article, right, talking about this issue in the league.
The defector, which I'm not going to lie, I'm not super familiar with.
The what?
The defector.
Yeah, I've never heard
like
this.
Jerry Callahan. Read the defector.
Defector media, yeah.
There's
yeah, this is my favorite website.
It's the people who defected from Deadspin. The old Deadspin letters.
Okay, see? Yes. See, they're legit. They're a legit website. Kalen Collar?
Sure.
Collar? Did a long piece where she talked to or requested to speak to virtually everyone, every NFL head coach, every team, and did a super deep dive into this topic.
Yes, she did.
And it is absolutely systematic and rampant in the National Football League. Now, before we start, I just want to have a quick question.
Sure.
Isn't this how the world works? Like, I know we're going to break this down, but it's not what you know, it's who you know. Like, isn't that kind of how the world... I joke with Mutt. Like... Every plumber you call is like, you know, Smith & Sons Plumbing. Like, and you're like, oh, good, family business. Generations they've been doing this business.
Do you
business.
See this in
Heart
any
construction.
Other... Do you see this in any other sport?
I don't know. I haven't done the rundown. I'm more familiar with the National. Are you going to tell me there's no familial relationships in baseball?
Well, there might be like, you know, a coach. You might have like a kid in scouting. You know, but I don't know how many coaches there are that have their kid that's like their first base coach or their bench coach or their hitting coach or... Things like that, like I'm in this league. There's no question in the NFL.
The numbers 11 of 30. This now all these numbers. I'm going to assume that the defector did a good job on.
The defector.
I did not go through.
Okay, you didn't fact check it.
I believe they ran the numbers and they say there were 792 coaches this year. Now the NFL uses a slightly different number based on. Who's a GA? Who's a intern?
Who's playing lacrosse and being an assistant coach at the same time?
So, like, the NFL has it, I guess, officially as, like, there's 800-something coaches. But they, 111 of 792 are essentially nepotism hires, 14%. And, you know, Las Vegas was number one. The Gruden era, Mayock era, everybody in Las Vegas was related to somebody. Then it was
very
Patriots,
mobbish.
Broncos. Yeah.
You have to get jumped in or you have to
Vegas,
be related.
Vegas had 9 related to a current or former coach and the staff, followed by Denver and New England with 8. So I'm guessing with Gruden gone, you might be on top of the charts. And with Denver new coaches, you might own that spot now.
You probably do, especially. I mean, there's turnover. We're using last year's numbers.
Right.
Obviously, there's 8 teams that could have turnover, different coaches. But 11 of 32 head coaches were related to a coach. Like 11 of 32, so one out of every 3 coaches, their daddy or their uncle or their somebody was a coach. I mean, we see it. The stories are always Super Bowl week player. Oh, Sean McVay's grandfather was this. Or
I know, but
Jay and John Gruden are this.
Why is the NFL? Why should the NFL like be like I don't know, shamed or penalized for allowing for their kids and their cousins and their friends to be part of that you know lifestyle and that job?
Well,
like it is no different. Then, you know, like, even if it was Hart's Construction, if you had a nephew or a niece, or, you know, or a
they're
cousin,
working there and they're making good money.
Listen, go, hey, instead of go see Uncle Bill, listen, I had an Uncle Bill. Like every summer, if ever I needed to work for like just for 5 days, I needed some money, I would go work construction in L.A. And it would be, it wouldn't matter. I didn't have to have a reason why I could leave what I wanted to.
And were you good?
I needed some money.
Or were the houses
shady? I was a hard carrier. It didn't matter. No, it was no shame whatsoever.
Did you screw up the houses?
So it was easy.
I did mess up UCLA dorms, though, by the way.
See?
I did.
So there was a mistake because he hired his slappy nephew for 5 days, just like Bill hired his son.
I should not be handling.
What's it like when they fire you?
$400,000 equipment.
In this article, overall, league averages 3.4 coaches per team.
Yeah.
Who are related to a current or former NFL coach.
That's it's amazing, but we all knew it.
But
right?
Why
we didn't put the numbers
why is the
in
the NFL like this, like
Shanahan,
this poster child for why you how things shouldn't work.
Well,
it's not a level playing field. Yes, I mean, what is? Tell me where the level playing field is. I would like to join.
And doesn't it? I mean, first of all, it makes sense because these coaches commit their lives to football. So the only time they see their kids is when their kids come hang around training camp or mini camp, and right there, they're creating relationships, whether it's with dad to get a job or one of his assistants.
Yeah.
I'm his ball boy. I help him out. He goes on his own, and he goes, you know what? Your son did a good – I trust your son. I got a relationship with your son. Come be my quality control guy with this new team. But the bigger issue, and it's brought up in there, that Bruce Arians, when he went to Arizona, wanted to hire his son.
Yeah, special teams
couldn't.
Coach.
Cardinals have a no-nepotism rule, and somebody pointed out that's ironic for these Bidwell types that just inherit the team. The whole NFL, like Jonathan Kraft did not apply for his job, right?
Nope.
He's Jonathan Kraft. His dad is Robert Kraft.
Yep.
The whole NFL is a family business. All these teams, the Rooneys, the Maras, the wherever you want to do it, they're all a family business. So wouldn't it be a little hypocritical to say, well, I know we do it, but no, you can't hire your son to be a quality control coach?
I mean, and you would think, like, if you're, like, you could even go back, if your coach, if, like, the dad is really good, you would think, okay, man, there's a lot of, like, you know, runoff for this kid, like, the knowledge, you know, and the experience, and, you know, this life, hey, listen, I remember back when my dad coached this team, this happened. You would think they would have a better understanding of how to handle it.
So in this article, he brings up the Belichick kids, right, Steve and Brian. So it talks about how neither one of these guys coached high school or college football. Brian played lacrosse at Trinity. Steve played lacrosse at Rutgers. And he says, according to this Patriots bio, to Steve Belichick, which carries no mention of Bill, by the way, Steve did a little bit of work to get ready for his NFL future. After playing 4 years of lacrosse, Belichick walked on the football team as a long snapper to help preparations for a coaching career.
Yes, with Shiano.
Now, this
friend of Bill.
How about this quote? Just read their bio. That's all you need, said one person close to the Patriots. Remove the name and tell me what you have. Seriously.
So let me ask you a question, though, along Christian's lines.
Again, so what?
Take the name, what's the bio,
but forget even the so what. Do you remember when Josh Boyer arrived? Their cornerbacks coach, he's now moved on. I think he was with Miami most recently.
Yep.
Josh Boyer. You remember where he was before he got here?
Was he a math teacher at Foxborough High?
No, I believe it was the South Dakota School of the Mines.
I don't even
know what that is.
Yes.
Would you, if you saw these resumes, are you going to hire that guy or are you going to hire Bill Belichick's kid who, A, maybe he just, you know, is the apple under the tree, but B, what you said, he's been around football his entire life, NFL. By osmosis, he should be sucking something in.
Yeah. Mm.
So I'm more concerned actually about the overall way that they hire these super low-level guys, whether they're connections or not, whether a friend of a friend got them in the door or not. And then they're all beholden to Bill. They don't have their own ideas. They just think the Bill way,
problem.
The Patriot way. Well, it's only a problem when it's a problem.
But think about
it
the kids,
It worked with
though.
Matt Patricia.
But think about,
right?
But think about the kids. Think about the kids. Who, when you talk
about the kids.
When you think about, like, think about the children.
The children.
What was it that we were talking about? Tom Kern said there's a problem based on, like, this. They're in this bubble. Right,
and they just quarantine thought process.
A quarantine thought process.
Not a lot of outside thoughts.
Yeah, just no outside because everybody. It's like a clan. Like it's like, hey, everybody is born and raised in the clan, and gooba gaba. Everybody thinks the same, and if anyone says anything, you know, outside the box, it's like, what? Who did that?
All right, listen. I want. Let's pick this conversation up after because it is a Bruins Thursday here in EEI, and we got to talk to Jack Edwards of Nesson to talk about the Boston Bruins, who I'm sure would love to forget about that hockey game a couple nights ago against Carolina. We'll talk to Jack Edwards. That is next.
Baseball is back. and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.